good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Today we got Bobby Wilson of Rutherford Falls and Reservation Dogs on today. He's an actor in Rutherford Falls. He plays the casino worker. And he also was writing the first year, and now he's full-time writing for Reservation Dogs, and they're starting to shoot their second season, and we're really excited about that. And Bobby has some roots here in the Twin Cities, and he not only worked at Enda Young, he stayed at Enda Young, and you'll hear him talk a little bit about that. But before we get any further, or I get any further here, I want to grab in Ogama here with the news. Ogama, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. I'm exhausted. I don't know about you. I feel like all I'm doing is working. And here we are.
Here we are. You know, we're still in the middle of winter. We're still in a pandemic. I think we're all a little bit exhausted. But bonjour, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuikwe. I have news for you on Native Roots Radio. I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I reside in central Minnesota right now. I usually start with news on the Line 3 pipeline here in Minnesota. But before I do that today, I just want to remind you all, we all talk about on Native Roots Radio at the end of every show, resist, divest, start a group and run for office. Is that what it is, Robert?
That's exactly what it is.
So I'm going to let you all know that if you want to run for something, the deadlines in Minnesota to run for something for school district offices, if there's a primary, the deadline is May 17th. And if there is not a primary, the deadline is August 2nd. Township offices, if you want to file for a township office, such as a town clerk, town treasurer, town supervisor, if there are elections in March, the deadline was until January 11th. But if you have a town that holds elections in November, you can file from August 2nd to August 16th. If you want to file for a city office position, such as mayor or council member, you can file on May 17th in cities where a primary is possible, and all the way up until August 2nd on cities where a primary is not held. County offices, such as county commissioner and soil and water supervisor, which could prove very important in Minnesota, considering what currently happened with the Line 3 progress in Minnesota, they may file from May 17th to May 31st of this year. State offices for senator, representative, governor, and lieutenant governor, secretary of state, attorney general, etc., may file starting May 17th until May 31st. And candidates for U.S. representative for federal office may file May 17th through May 31st. So if you are tired of coming to rallies and you want to take another step in the right direction, there's plenty of support from Native candidates who have run, from allied candidates who have run, and you should definitely consider running for office if it's crossed your mind. Now a little bit about the Line 3 pipeline. I know I mentioned this yesterday, but last year, March 3rd, about a year ago, around 50 people were wrongfully arrested for coming together at the site of the largest inland oil spill in the United States. This had happened outside of outside of Grand Rapids along the Prairie River in 1990, I believe, or 1991. So now almost a year later, there are water protectors who are going to trial over being arrested and kettled by Itasca County sheriffs and state troopers. The trial is Friday, February 25th of 2022. One water protector was wrongfully arrested and charged for bringing awareness to the Line 3 spill, and they will be going head-to-head with a judge as a pro se defendant, which means they are seeking to force the judge to be held accountable for the willful breach of First Amendment rights that they experienced on March 3rd of last year. You are being asked if you can come to bear witness and hold space at the Itasca County Courthouse on February 25th, starting at about 9 a.m. Bring signs, supporters, friends, and wear warm clothes. There'll be speakers and food. You can find out more at resistline3.org or stopline3.org. That's going to be a really exciting event this coming Friday. Coming up Wednesday after next, the Tamarack Water Alliance community is hosting a Zoom meeting at 10 a.m. And what they would like to do is to inform people about what they have learned about the risk of the proposed Talon Metal Mines near Tamarack, Minnesota, and to discuss some organizing information and priorities. They are asking people to bring questions, concerns, and ideas, and will provide a list of op-eds and to encourage people to write or to do further research on the project. If you don't know, the Talon Metal Mines near Tamarack are closely tied in with the electric car company Tesla, and are talking about mining nickel and sulfide, which are both very dangerous things to mine as they cause significant amounts of pollution. So that's definitely something you want to get involved in and keep an eye out here in Minnesota. If you are interested in the Line 5 reroute plan, the Wisconsin DNR and Army Corps of Engineers are currently accepting comments. Please go to the U.S. Army Corps website and comment before March 7th. That is the deadline. You can comment to the Wisconsin DNR. Their deadline is March 18th. The Bad River Reservation Bad River Chippewa Reservation, members have sent out an email. This one came from Devin, talking about how Bad River is currently on the brink of an oil spill because Enbridge built Line 5 through the reservation 7 decades ago, and the river is now on the verge of breaking through the land supporting the pipeline. And the Enbridge wants to run the pipeline through 184 waterways in just 40 short miles, and all will flow through the Bad River watershed. So this is kind of an unprecedented number for a really short distance. In 40 miles, it's going to have 184 water crossings, this Line 5 reroute. And this would be compared to the just about 200 water crossings for Line 3 in Minnesota, which spanned over 300 miles and was still outrageous and destructive here in Minnesota. So make sure you're supporting our relatives over in Wisconsin for that. We are having Bobby on today. If you want to be on Reservation Dogs, make sure you go over to Linktree/ResDogsCast or follow ResDogsCasting. And then this one is really cool, Robert. I wanted to touch base. Our relatives in South Dakota, the Sintik Gleska University, which is a tribal college in Mission, South Dakota, is going into a partnership with NASA, and that's going to get them new science education programs and help create more affordable housing for the reservation, and could develop 3D housing that may or may not be used on Mars. So wow. They partnered with NASA to build this housing, and NASA's going to study this housing. And yeah, it's just this really, really cool project, how all three of those things loop together. So congratulations over there at Sintik Gleska for your new partnership.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Ogama, I just got something really quick to bring up. I just want to give a quick shout out to in Wisconsin today at the Capitol. There was the State of the Tribes, and it was an amazing thing. And Shannon Housley, who is the president of Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians, she kicked butt, and it sounded so good to hear, because we're all struggling, we're all on the same page. I mean, that could have been somebody rocking and rolling from Minnesota, what she had to say. The only difference was she talked about Line 5, she talked about wolves, she talked about sovereignty. It was just a beautiful thing. So I was just excited to bring that up at the end of your news. Thank you, Pinigigi Ogama, for all you do. We will be right back after this short break. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Stay with us.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, Robert, sorry, I don't have the cues in front of me for that one yet, so apologies there. We could go with this portion of the show. It is brought to you by MN350.
We're so blessed here to have Bobby Wilson of Rutherford Falls, 1490 Erwiners, and also of reservation dogs. And let's finish up our conversation a little bit, Bobby. Thank you so much for being on again. Let's finish up we're wrapping up the season of Rutherford Falls, and you're about to do some voiceover work, some dubbing. And then how fun is this, Mr. Hollywood, huh? I'm so excited to have Bobby Wilson of Rutherford Falls and the Reservation Dogs fame to stop in and talk about what's happening around Indian country. And I just want to let you know, Bobby, we're so proud of you here in the Twin Cities. I know you used to live here. Oh, yeah. Yes. I would love this interview because we can embarrass you. I just want to check in with you. I know you just got done shooting, finishing up with Rutherford Falls. And I know your Wayne character was one of my favorites because I think I've met some Waynes before. So welcome to Native Radio.
Thanks for having me. What's up, future chairman, junior elder, Bob Pilot?
I liked it when you were calling me Choka last time. That was pretty funny.
Choka Robert.
Representing us in a good, fun way. And, you know, I know humor really, you know, there was a coach for the Gophers who said, if you got them laughing, you got their attention. And I know both the shows that you're on. And along with the 1491ers that you started with, if you got them laughing, you got people's attention in a good way. And I just want to say thank you so much for spending some time with us in Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Very cool. So, we have new people listening to her show all the time, and I was wondering if you could give a little background of what you've been doing. And I know you in the Indian country, you've been really huge in the 1491ers, you and your group. Could you tell our audience a little bit about that?
Yeah, man. I'm Bobby Wilson, Bobby Dews. I'm Sisitawan, Wakbetawan, Dakota, and born and raised in the Twin Cities, part of a comedy troupe called the 1491s. We formed way back in like 2010, I want to say. Started making YouTube videos, touring all over the place, and then popped up on TV here and there over the decade of us touring together. And then things happened real quick. We were commissioned to write a play for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland, Oregon. And then while we were making that play, Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi sold a TV show called Reservation Dogs to FX. And then sometime afterwards, I was offered a job writing for the Peacock series, Rutherford Falls. And yeah. I've been writing ever since on TV and doing my thing and bopping around. Yeah. Yeah.
We're really proud of you. And I remember watching a Comedy Central show, and they were talking about the Redskin name. That's a few years back. And then all these sort of redneckish people that were trying to rationalize why they should keep the Redskins name. And a bunch of natives came out kind of from the back door, and you were one of them. Do you remember that?
How could I forget? That was crazy, man.
I was like, I know that dude with the tattoo on his neck. What's going on here?
Yeah. You know, that was like 6 years ago now. Jon Stewart was still the host of that show. And like, I thought like that was it. I said, like, you know, and again, six or seven years ago now, I was like, wow, we're like on Comedy Central. We're taking off. Like, this is it. We're going to get a show out of this and like all this and that. And then nothing happened as a result of it. The name didn't get changed because of it. We didn't get a TV show. Everybody was a little worse off. No, not a little worse off. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time.
Well, you're like one of those, you hear the musicians talk about it a lot too, an overnight success that took 10 years.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm saying that really is what it is.
That's crazy. Well, I really, really, let's talk about Rutherford Falls, and you just finished up your second season, and the first season was really fun, and I want to go directly now, not to your part. You were Wayne the casino worker, and I've met many Waynes over the years, but you were awesome, and your sidekick was awesome, and it was really cool how you were like more sacred, let's say, than the person you were giving a hard time to. You know, that was a great character, but I want to back up a little bit and just talk about, there's a speech that the chairman or the president says that really hits my heart and makes it really emotional when I hear it. He's with a reporter, and he tells the reporter to turn his recorder off, and he wanted to set him straight. Can you tell us a little bit about the background of that? I know you mentioned before that many of you writers worked on that script for hours and hours and days, possibly. Or that speech.
Yeah, well, I know the speech that you're talking about, Terry Thomas, he's not the chairman, but he's actually not even a political figure. He runs the casino. But he's so well regarded in the community and such a force that, and it's something that we really talked about, was like that he's not an elected official, but, he carries himself like a freaking powerhouse, you know? And the speech that you're talking about, we really, you know, I would say with that show in general, one of the things that we were always walking a tightrope on is how much do we explain to the audience? Because nobody wants to get a talking to. Nobody does, especially in comedy. It's not fun. It's boring, generally. And for Terry to come in and give a speech about his views on capitalism and sovereignty, that was something that we, as a writing staff, really had to take a look at and work that balancing act of, like, how does this character, like, say these things that he really believes and is really sort of, like, high concepts of, like, how people balance being indigenous within the construct of capitalism in America. And yeah, I don't know. We ended up having to do, like, kind of offshoot, like, separate rooms. I remember myself and my fellow writer, Tazba Chavez, we, like, freaking, we were, like, bashing our heads against a wall, like, how do we say this without being, you know, corny? How do we say this in a way that people are going to understand it and resonate with it and also want to watch the next episode? And I'm satisfied with what we came up with there. I mean, he essentially compares tribal capitalism to, like, sharing a deer with everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're kind of talking about per cap, but really what we're talking about is, like, the sharing of tribal resources, well, really financial resources, with the rest of the community. And Terry talks, like, kind of brings it up in a lot of parts of the show, even in the pilot, when Regan is asking him for money to build her museum, her cultural center. He tells her, like, so you think we should maybe divest from the elders program, from our Head Start, from, you know, and he, like, names all of these things that the casino money is paying for in the community. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I didn't know that we did all of that. No, I, you know, right. we maybe shouldn't take the money away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was powerful. And I think one of the statements, too, is that, you know, without turning off our white supporters here, is that he basically said, I will not be satisfied until I get everything back for my people that you took. And I think that's where, for me, the teardrop comes down in my eyes. And the emotional thing is, it's like, yeah, right on. Because I think we're in a time now, which is so much different from when I was young, that we can speak our truths and people, we have allies out there and that really understand and want to learn our truths. And it, what better way to do it in a comedic way? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah,
I think definitely. That's kind of the power of comedy, is meeting people halfway, but also making sure that we're not taking ourselves too seriously in the work that we're doing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're wrapping up this first segment, and I really want to talk a lot about Reservation Dogs in the next segment, but we got a minute or so here. So you finished up Rutherford Falls shooting, and that's going to be out when?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I don't have any part of the scheduling at all. It could be the summer. It could be the fall. It's going to take a while. You know, we just wrapped it up. Now they got to do all the crazy work of, like, you know, music cues, all the sound editing, all the color correction, everything that you can think of that goes into making a freaking TV show. And, you know, we've got Tribe Called Red in the studio doing all the sound cues again for season two. They were our folks from season one who created the theme song alongside, man, I forget his name off the top of my head, unfortunately, but it's like the same guy that Mike Schur has worked with on other shows. But yeah, you know, all that stuff. Like, I'm in my car right now because I have to go record some voiceovers for the show, right after this.
Bobby, stay with us, okay? We got another segment to do. I'm with Bobby Wilson of Reservation Dog in Rutherford Falls. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Children's Minnesota raises up children's health by raising the standards. Hands, voices, the bar, the stakes, the questions, and the curtain on raising kids' health to the highest priority. With the most pediatric experts in the Upper Midwest, we're setting the stage because kids need us, all of us. So let's raise them up so every kid can reach their best health. Children's Minnesota, the kid experts.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Santita Jackson, Minneapolis, St. Paul. I couldn't be more excited about starting our days together, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. Central, on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors. You'll find high-quality food and unique eating experiences with dishes from around the world. Just visit eatlocalminnesota.com for your next meal. Experience the revolutionary Cuban cooking at Victor's 1959 Cafe, the little piece of Cuba in South Minneapolis. It's an authentic taste of Cuban cuisine for any meal of the day. Favorites include the ropa vieja, sweet plantain omelet, seafood paella, and more. Victor's has their dining room open for seating with no reservations required. Located off 38th and Grand. More at victors1959cafe.com. Cafe Latte combines a cafe dining experience with gourmet quality food. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
Hi everyone, Matt McNeil here. The last year was hard for so many of us, and many small businesses struggled. That's why everyone at AM950 is so grateful to the listeners who stepped up and helped support the radio station by becoming members of the station. Because of your listener support, we were able to continue to deliver the best and only progressive talk in the state on one of the few true progressive talk radio stations in the country. As we move into a better tomorrow, it's still important to help support small businesses like AM950, and the membership is a great way to do it. We have memberships at any financial level, either a one-time donation or a recurring one, and we appreciate any support. We've already featured a lot of members-only bonus content, like the calendars, special member-only interviews, and even personalized messages, and we have more benefits coming soon. To become a member, go to am950radio.com, click on the Become a Member button, and sign up today. That's am950radio.com. Help support AM950 sponsors, support local small businesses, and become a member of AM950 Radio today at am950radio.com.
With a look at your AM950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 4 below zero, then sunny on Wednesday with a high of 8 above. Hazel's Northeast offers a fabulous meal any time of the day with selections like the Drunken Banana French Toast for breakfast or the Swedish Meatballs for dinner. Hazel's is at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis, just a few minutes from 35W. More at hazelsnetogo.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
We're so blessed here to have Bobby Wilson of Rutherford Falls, 1490 Oneers, and also of Reservation Dogs. And let's finish up our conversation a little bit, Bobby. Thank you so much for being on again. let's finish up. We're wrapping up the season of Rutherford Falls, and you're about to do some voiceover work, some dubbing. How fun is this, Mr. Hollywood, huh?
Oh, man. You know, how fun is it? Shoot, man. I can't quantify it, but these are the best days of my life.
Right on. So how many shows Rutherford Falls is going to have when their season opens? Is it eight again?
Yeah, it's an eight episode season.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, let's go into Reservation Dogs, and I know that's a huge hit. In you guys were re-upped for another season. I think I guess my first question is, how did it feel working with Mr. Farmer? I mean, I'm like enamored with you, but I can't imagine working with him and thinking nothing but smoke signals.
Yeah, man, Gary Farmer is a legend, not just for Indians, but for white people who are super into cinema. Gary Farmer is still a legend. I mean, look at his filmography, you know, Dead Man, the Jim Jarmusch film from way back, starring him and Johnny Depp. And really, more than Johnny Depp, that is Gary Farmer's movie. He's incredible in like everything that he does. And so he's actually in an episode of Rutherford Falls season one. He plays my uncle. We don't actually interact together in that episode, but I remember the set writer, and mind you, this man, the set writer, the production writer that day, he was like a joke writer for Kimmel. He was he's been writing on big network comedies for many, many years. And he comes to me and he says, dude, like, that's Gary Farmer, and I want to give him a note, but also, like, I kind of don't. I'm a little bit scared to talk to him. I'm like, why are you scared to talk to him? He goes, are you kidding me? Have you seen Dead Man? Like, that's Gary Farmer. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. So it was fun. Like, I think if this was my first time with him, I might have been a little bit more nervous. But I've had weird, like, run-ins with Gary Farmer because he's just that legendary over the years. The first time I ever went to Santa Fe, New Mexico, I saw him perform as Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, his band. Wow. And, he was like his own roadie, and me, Sterling Harjo, and, Ryan Redcorn got like shamed into, like, cause we were like standing there watching him, and it was like, wow, man, how old do you think he is? Look at that. He's so big. He's like carrying all his own equipment still. And somebody says, well, go over there and help him. That's your elder. And we were like, we all got up and we went over, helped him out. And I was like, wow, that's Victor's dad. And then, you know, I would always see him just like randomly in places. I ran into him once in the Twin Cities at the Indian Center. I like freaking seen him just like on the streets in Santa Fe, just bopping around. And then to have him in Reservation Dogs was absolutely phenomenal. I had been in love with this character already, Uncle Brownie. Like, I knew exactly, like, this is going to be amazing. This is such a crazy character. And what a, like, to get Gary Farmer to play that character, what a blessing, what a trip. And I'll tell you what, man, that scene, I'm smoking him down. You know, he's trying to sell me his old weed that he found, that he buried in his lawn like years ago. You know what I mean? And sorry, I said I wouldn't cuss. I keep forgetting. It's just my natural way of speaking. But so he goes to the dispensary, and my character Jumbo is like, I can't buy this, man. Like, or no, I test it out, and it just like kills my throat. I'm just
like, harshed out.
And he's like, he's all good stuff. Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, no, man, no, I can't buy this, you know, and it's an antique. And then, Paulina Willie Jack, she goes, hey Jumbo, like, why don't you smoke Uncle down? And I'm like, oh, I got something for you. I pull out this big bong. And you know, it's funny, like on the set, we're not smoking actual like THC weed, but we are smoking weed, but it's It's like the O'Doul's of weed. It's just CBD. It's purely CBD. There's no, like, whatever the stuff that gets you stoned in
yeah.
it. But it's actual, like, weed and plant, you know? And so, mm-hmm. like, we stuff it in there. And Gary tells me right before we start filming that part, he goes, I can't just fake it. I can't fake it. It's not going to look good. It's not going to look good. And, you know, people are like, you don't have to hit it. You don't have to hit it, Gary. It's mm-hmm. it's fine. Like, he's got an actual lighter. He can actually hit it. It's a real bong. And he's like, they're like, we'll just, you know, with effects, we'll make the smoke come out. It'll look real. And he's like, no, it's going to look bad. It's going to look bad. So I'm actually going to hit it. And I see him go for it. He uh-huh. fills that whole bong full of smoke all the way up. And I'm like, oh my, fills the whole bong up. He pulls that sucker out and he freaking clears it. All the smoke goes up and he just like coughs his smoke everywhere. And like inside I'm going, oh my God, like this man is going to die. But I don't want to mess up the scene because he just did this crazy thing. And so I'm just like, you know, really just trying to play into it and not ask him if he's okay and wants to sit down. And he looks at me in his eyes. He's just like, there's just tears running down his eyes. There's snot coming out of his nose. He's drooling. And he goes, it's good stuff.
That's awesome.
Poor guy.
That's awesome, though. Yeah, no, you know,
it was amazing.
You know, from the days of Powwow Highway to, you know, it's just, it's really great to see.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Way-o, way-o.
Can you hear me?
Everybody say way-o. Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. Okay, go. Wow. Bobby, that was a great story. Just working with those icons and the Native American voice getting out there in comedy. And I just want to say thank you so much for doing that. We got another minute or two here. Can you just, are you excited for Reservation Dogs like I am? What's the vibe going on?
Oh man, I am so freaking pumped about season two. It is bananas. Like getting a second season of a show, like gives you so much permission to do so much more, especially with how successful season one was of Reservation Dogs. It's like, going into we start filming in Oklahoma in mid March and we're going to go until May. I get to be on set this whole time as a production writer, which I'm super pumped and super nervous for, but it's going to be great. I can't wait. You know, I got Mika Z. Pensino and Tazba Chavez as my cohort for production writers. So, you know, they've got a lot of seasoned experience on me. So I'm so freaking excited to see how insane this thing is.
If you need an old Ho-Chunk to come down and do a cameo, let me know. I'll fly down on the first plane.
Yeah.
Choke a pilot.
We'll see you there, Choka. Yeah. I can't wait for the junior elder scene. Do I bring him a plate? Do I not? I don't know.
Yeah, he gets his own, I think.
Yeah.
or the junior elder like myself, like, just looks sad when the other elders are getting their plates. So yeah. I'll practice doing that. But yeah, appreciate you spending some time with us. And really, you're making us here. I know you're an old and a young employee, too. I got to give you a shout out on that. You and Dallas, which blows my mind. That organization's still going on, and I have a lot of former students that are working there. And and it's a great legacy that you had.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's freaking crazy to think about staying at Andy Young as a teenager, and then now I'm just like, I don't know, writing TV and getting flown around to be on it. I'm freaking blessed, man.
You are,
and my ancestors every day.
Pinigigi, you are blessed, and we're blessed to have you on. And thank you so much for all you do, and all the good words and the great spirit that comes through you and your characters and your writing. I really appreciate this time. I know you're really a busy person, and really appreciate this time that you're on with us.
Oh, hey, I appreciate you having me on here, Choka.
Oh, all right, Pina Gigi.
Yeah, well, that was fun. Sorry that you missed out on that, Ogama. I know you're having some internet problems that day, but it was a lot of fun. And I do notice I say a lot of and that's great. I felt like that Chris Farley character when he was interviewing Paul McCartney on Saturday Night Live, and he go, oh, yeah, you know, you're a Beatle, right? Oh, that's great. You know, so I found myself doing that, but he's a great guy. And we're blessed to have people like him in Indian country, Ogama.
We certainly are. And people that are brave enough to do what he's doing and to take something like that to FX and to land it and to keep going on and to keep bringing light and getting us onto the cinemas. It's a big deal. And I'm proud of anybody doing that work.
Right on. And he's very humble and grateful. And that's a good place to be, because he'll be on level ground. It won't go to his head. You know, that's what I really like about Bobby and Dallas too. People that we know, and Dallas Goldtooth's always been strong in the water protecting and with his family and stuff. But Bobby, it's great to see his success, and I'm glad that he's having a great time. We don't know when the show is, but they're going to be done shooting in May, and we'll be right back after this short break. Give us a call. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion's brought to you from Hauling for Wolves. We get to haul for the wolves here on Native Roots Radio. Oh!
Oh!
We lame howlers. Well, I should have had Bobby record a howl for us. That was awesome, Ogama, having Bobby on, and... if anyone wants to chime in, we got a 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, just to chime in and say, hey, you know, we're blessed to know a lot of people, Ogama, across Turtle Island that we can have on the show and amplify their voice. And I really feel like this fifth season is going to be a really a big season. Already has been. We're in February, and Yeah, I just think we're growing and growing and growing.
We are. It's really exciting, and it is so. I feel so blessed to be able to get to be a part of that, even though I didn't get to be on with that interview specifically with Bobby for that time. We do get the opportunity to do these kind of things and to talk about these kind of things and to uplift the voices of our relatives from all over who are doing amazing things in the world. And it's truly a blessing.
You know, I was just thinking as you were talking too, when you first started on the show, you're going to take some time off, and it'd be fun to play your old stories that you did in the beginning.
I was ready to publish a book
with those.
You know, I've thought about it, but who has the time? It's right. Kind of what it comes down to, but. Those seem really far away, but really they're not. They're only, I think probably the newest one's only a year old, right?
I think you were doing the news before we went 5 days a week though too. For quite a while.
I might have been. I think it was around election time I switched over to news.
Yeah, I think so. Because how Ogama and I met, she sent me a message saying that she reached out to other radio stations, it's her dream job, blah, blah, blah. And that what keyed me in was that you said you were a writer. And I said, well, do you remember the story? You want to tell the story here? We got 5 minutes to reminisce here.
Robert told me to tell him a story and to record it and to send it in. And I kind of panicked because I've never done that. And I was hoping I could maybe do some editing or something, maybe a little bit more background. What you see me doing every day with my face on the camera and all that kind of stuff was never really what I intended. But that's, I think that's what happened. And I don't know if anybody knows this about me, but there was an error at the hospital when I was born. And I had two birthdays for a long time. And it used to be one of those fun facts about me. I would tell everybody that I had two birthdays, one right after the other. And I told the story about how frustrating it was, depending on what system I was in or who I was talking to, which date of birth I needed to use or which one they might have had on file. And I sent it in to Robert, and he told me to record my name and for Native Roots Radio, and that he was putting it on air the next day. And I think I lost my mind and called everybody I knew and was like, I'm going to be on the radio. I was so excited.
It was so fun because I'll tell you, there's so many people that, there's two things. There's so many people that say they want to do something, and you did it. I just called you on your bluff. It was like, oh, I got an email from this young person here, and it's like, okay, tell me a story, record it on your phone and email it to me, make it 8 minutes. And you did do it. And I remember getting the story and listening to it and going, wow, this is really cool and really interesting. And at first I was going to put music to it, maybe some drum music or some singing in the background, but it was raw and dry. And I think people really liked it. I know people I'd run into would tell me that. And the thing, when we were on for 2 hours, it was hard for me to believe that people would invest that amount of time. And so that's why we had so many good shows and still do, but we'd have 8 guests every week, Ogama, on our 2-hour show. And now we've just spread them out, and not only 8 guests, but I guess 8 segments. And one of the segments would have been your story. Tell me a story, or, and I remember one about your uncle that really hit me. And, it was very good. And, now we've been working together ever since. And it's been a slow process to get to know you because you're up in the deep north. And I remember, people would run into us that knew we were on the radio. And I would say, this is the second time I've only met Ogama, right?
Yeah, it's been a virtual world for us, for sure. Yeah. because we started all of this from a distance, and then COVID hit and kept us all at a distance. So, yeah, I think we've met in person now probably about 10 times, right? I mean, yeah. We're getting then into the double digits. But, yeah, for the most part, it's phone. It's this platform we're talking on. It's Zoom. It's mm-hmm. texting. It's all email, all those things. And I think that's really interesting, cool that we have it going that way as well too, because I think there's, you know, this bit of a perception that you know, Native people aren't quite with the times in a lot of people's mm-hmm. eyes, and to be, you know, that modern, I think is also something to be proud of.
Yeah, definitely. And it's really hasn't changed and has changed. I think one of the things changed is that we lead off with the news all the time. And I think we did that too when we were in 2 hours there for a good half a year, when you stopped doing the stories and started working on other stuff. Because we were doing symposiums too, and we had all these people on Sunday nights when we were doing live symposiums when COVID first hit, from all over the Turtle Island. I remember, I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but I remember Trump was trying to like delist one of the first tribes that like met the Pilgrims. And we had the chairman on, you know, and talking about it like in real time, you know, and talking about in the middle of the night, he got a phone call that the Trump administration was doing that. And, so, I mean, we've been really blessed with people that over the years have learned to trust us. But I always joke with State Senator Kunish, because she was like the first quote-unquote politician that came on our show, because when you first start something like this, you're begging people to come on. You know, it's like, oh, you know, you're a custodian at a Native American school. Can you come on my show? You know, you know. And now we have a good group of people that are on every week. Tomorrow it'll be Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always just love to say that. But you know, and we have Winona LaDuke jump in and out of here at times, and then Nancy Bolio and Dr. Stately. We see Heather Keeler, she took over the show last week, you know, all these strong Native people not only supporting us, but us supporting them by telling their story. So we are totally blessed too. And I think I was thinking about that when Bobby Wilson was talking today, is that, yeah, we are too. And we don't know really, I couldn't teach this in school on how to become a radio host, because I was a film guy, and I just saw an opportunity. And we went to Standing Rock many, many times when that was going on, and we'd come back here and see so much misinformation that we wanted to do something. And, you know, it was one of those things, hey, somebody should do something. And then we kind of realized we are somebody. And it's great. My wife, Wendy, has been on from the get-go. Her and I have been doing this for, this is our fifth year, and we're really blessed to be on the airwaves here and amplify Native news and events. And Ogama Pini Gigi for everything. I just want to end with, we're still here. We are the seventh generation, and free Leonard Peltier.